Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'll tell you what's gotten into everyone right now. It is the most pervasive feeling throughout the playoffs. It is the most unstoppable force there is right now in the world. And no, it does not have anything to do with my pugs back over here humping on some machinery. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and Trevor Scales with us today. You normally see him as the co-host of Sports Nation on ESPN Plus, but today Trevor is here to dispense even more of that most powerful force I was referencing, because it is none other than Hawks propaganda right now as the Atlanta Hawks take a 1-0 series lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. And Trev, I see you are keeping it all in the ATL family today.
Why would I not? Why would I not keep it all the way 100 with y'all, man? We talked about the tattoo on my arm. We talked about the place that I was born and bred, Mike Golic Jr. But daggone it, y'all gonna feel all this propaganda today. The Southern accent probably gonna come out more often than not, and we gonna get into these numbers because your boy is here to spread all of the love from Atlanta throughout the entire country. Wherever you can hear my voice, you will feel this Atlanta love.
And you know what? Guys, it's only going to get more focused on here, because we got L. Duncan coming through in about 15 minutes. The SportsCenter 6's very own L. Duncan, who has been out here giving you just as much Atlanta Hawks propaganda and all this. Hell, we might even get more Hawks and see if we can dip inside the locker room today during this show. But until we can do all of that, it is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Because this Hawks propaganda really at this point might be Trae Young propaganda. He goes off yet again last night, Trev, and this postseason has been defined by moments of sheer audacity from Trae Young, bowing at Madison Square Garden, letting everyone hear it is way too quiet in here. And now last night we add a shimmy and an ignorant lob off the backboard to John Collins to the resume here. So, Trev, look into this postseason right now. Trae Young has continued to lean into this idea that sports are also allowed to be a show. It's allowed to be entertainment. And I'm starting to get to the point where I look around at the Suns. I look around at the Clippers. I look around at Giannis and the Bucks right now and wonder, he may not be the best basketball player. We can have that conversation. But is Trae Young officially the biggest star that we have left in this NBA postseason?
Dog, I'd go with it, right? Like, from this sheer standpoint of villain nature of his presence on the court. You mentioned the word ignorant with the lob that he threw. I'm going to go ignorant. That was more ignorant with what he did out on the court and the shimmy that followed the three ball that they decided to give him all the time in the world to take. This is a brother that's kind of taken over in a different kind of way on his entrance into the playoff foray, right? Like, he's averaging 30 points and 10 assists over a 13-game span. Only other person to do that in postseason history, in NBA postseason history, is Russell Westbrook. So he's coming in off the gate with a bliss and just fearlessness, probably out of ignorance, because he doesn't know any better. They tell you to act like you've been there before. He's acting like he's never gonna get back. And I love that sort of nature that he's playing with, because it exudes to everyone on that roster.
It does. It is otherworldly confidence that we've seen from Trae Young. And I would say it's arrogance. It's that earned arrogance that comes with knowing you're a bad, bad man. And I think this was interesting, because the comparisons are going to start to come. And I think a really apt one is Steph Curry in a lot of ways. To me, less the styles of play, because I think there's lots of differences in their game. Steph's the best shooter of all time. Trae, while he's been hot lately, we know, struggled at the end of the last series. Like, those are all real conversations about the game that we can have. But it's this idea, you had a smaller player who is more of an outside force here, who on the surface, like Trae Young, we've had him on the show. He's an incredibly nice young man. Like, you hear him in the media after the game and he sounds very sweet and it sounds very innocent. And then he gets on the court and he reminds you, no, he's kind of a bleep hole when you've got to play against him, in the way that we saw from Steph in those games. And it prompted Alan Hahn, our ESPN radio co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, to talk about them and kind of bring up the thing you brought up, this villain aspect of Trae Young.
We're old enough to remember the show, The Super Friends, the cartoon.
Yeah.
You remember The Super Friends, right?
So Gleek. Right.
The Wonder Twins.
Wonder Twins.
They had the Legion of, they had the Hall of Justice, where, mm-hmm. again, it was a Superman.
It was Aquaman, Wonder Woman.
And then there was the Legion of Doom, which was kind of like the reverse of the Super Friends.
Bad guys.
The bad guys. Mm-hmm. And some of the bad guys were like the reverse, of like the good guys. A reverse Superman, right? That's why I think Trae Young is more of a Legion of Doom version of Steph Curry. Because Steph Curry has more of that likability, where Trae has a little more of a swagger that makes you like, man, how can you not hit this guy? How can they not stop this guy? It almost is frustrating to watch.
Because
as much as he's an amazing player to watch, there's that other factor about him.
Chenan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. That's Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Mike Golick Jr. and Trevor Scales. And Trev, I'm just wondering what Steph Curry, Alan Hahn watched. Because right? If we go back to that record-setting regular season win team for the Golden State Warriors, we hated them by the end of the season. And we definitely hated that mouthpiece-chewing Steph Curry.
Yes, everybody was fixated on that mouthpiece and wanted nothing to do with it by the end of that run that they had, right? I think the term that Alan Hahn was looking for is bizarre. Bizarro, by the way, like Bizarro, Superman, like that was the sort of relationship that they had. A little free game for you there, Alan Hahn. But beyond that, right, this is something that we're looking at in pure villainry that I really do believe that Steph embraced right off the rip as well. But maybe there was a little bit more of a baby face quality to Steph that people were cool with getting along with, at least for the time being. Right, Trae Young came in and people had jokes about how his head looked like a lollipop that got rolled in some spare fur. And then we just started getting jokes off on the game. We started getting jokes off on the look, and he just turned pure villain from there. It went from F you Trae Young to it's quiet as bleep in here, and that's where we're at. Courtesy of just how he set foot on the scene, Mike.
You know what? I want to go a different route because I've heard him call Pablo Torre said Wario to the Mario that is Steph Curry earlier on Highly Questionable. But I think our friend Dominique Foxworth put it the best when I was talking to him last night, because we'll upgrade the superhero comic references for people here off the morning show here since we are a little bit younger than those guys. Loki is what's hot on the Disney Plus streets right now. And Mina Kimes brought out that comparison of, you know, he is the god of mischief. That floater is such a deadly, confusing force of nature out there on the court. But Dominique Foxworth brought this up, and I think this is the best part about what we deal with Trae Young, is he might be Loki, but in his head, you can't tell him he's not Thanos, right? That he's not out there to end everybody's bleep coming out on this court. And that's exactly what he did in game one. Like, we went through this entire process leading up to game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, Trev, and talked about what was on the line for the Milwaukee Bucks here and how it was laid out for the path in front of them. And apparently no one told Atlanta. Like, it feels like at this point, the Bucks still... Trev, you know what? I'll ask you this question. I know we're going to get to this a little bit more later. You've been a Hawks fan. You've been a fan of all things Atlanta for a long time right now. How ready are you, based on what we've seen, to go from this idea of the Hawks just playing with house money to actually saying we need to take them seriously as a finals contender and start grading this like it matters and not just like they've already arrived and everything is gravy?
Buddy, I'm toeing a line right now. I am known to be the cynic at all times when it comes to everything Atlanta, because I know how this movie ends. I have been heartbroken time and time again. So why would I walk into this thing with an unrealistic amount of optimism about the outcome, right? So I was there right at the start of this thing. I seen everybody picking the Knicks at 7, Knicks in 6 or whatever have you. I was riding with my guys there. But frankly, when we got to the Philly series, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen here, right? And then they messed around one game one and got off and rolling. We see what happened there. We get to game one here, and I was like, man, do I need to pick him? Do I need to just go on and pick him now? Because of my superstition, I ain't going to do it, because I done rode out to this point without picking them, so we're not going to mess up that juju going forward. But I am telling you right now that I saw L. Duncan in the mentions talking about she's ready to die for the cause. And pal, it is a dangerous game to play, but I might be willing to put my bid in at this point. Like, we are right there. We are right there as far as me dropping the cynicism and saying, you know what? Let's ride out. I'm with Atlanta the whole way through, and we just need to go ahead and take the ship.
You know what? This is good, because coming up next here, we talk about, are you ready to push the chips all on the tables? Are you ready to go out here and die for the cause right now? We'll see if Elle Duncan, getting ready to stop by, you see her on the 6 o'clock Sports Center with Kevin Negandhi every day. She has been out here talking that talk, ready to go. How ready is she to go all in and say this is the Hawks thing to lose here in the NBA postseason? We'll ask her next. You're on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Ooh, guys, the NBA Eastern Conference Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in Friday, Game 2, as Drew Holiday and the Bucks host John Collins and the Hawks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. It's Chenan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+. Mike Golic Jr. and Trevor Scales, but we got to clear out the room right now. I'm almost getting ready to just hand the mic over to the folks in Bristol because we are joined by none other than L. Duncan, because if it's going to be a day of Hawks propaganda on this show, we got to go three wide and really let loose on this. You guys see L on the 6 o'clock Sports Center with Kevin DeGondi. She's also the co-host of the First Take, Her Take podcast. And L, I need you and Trevor to just walk me through the Hawks process this postseason, because we're in here when you're getting ready to come on here, and I have never seen this. And like, L, you are energy all the time. You're one of the most fun people at this company, but I have never seen the tenacity that you are bringing right here, right now.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so glad you're recognizing my glow up, Gojo. First of all, I want to say thank you to your producer, Shannon Penn, for hitting me up. It's funny. It's as if you guys read my petty mind. I was laying in bed this morning, Trevor, and I was like, what platforms can I go on and gloat? And then Shannon hit me up, and I was like, oh, this is perfect. And then to find out that it was Trevor, my Atlanta brother, my Atlanta brother, we're ganging up, and they're going to think that we're conspiring, but that's fine.
No.
Gojo, this is a new feeling for me because, as I was just saying to the group, when you're an Atlanta sports fan, you have tried almost every approach. Right, you've tried pessimism, skepticism, you've tried positivity, you've tried quitting the teams, you've tried going all in on the teams, you've tried wearing the jerseys some year, not wearing them. You've tried every, and none of it works. And so I am just going with Trae Young at this point. I'm taking a lead from my team right now, and I am going with a rational confidence. I am trying that on for size. It feels good, Trevor, to finally feel like we are in it. You know, like the thing I have always, always, always been jealous of, envious of with Patriots fans is that they always know they were just in that damn game. Like they knew there would be a way. And if there was a way, Tom Brady would find it. And it's kind of cool that very early on in this sort of process of rebuilding for the Hawks, I already feel more assured that Trae Young and these 22-year-olds are going to find a way down the stretch to at least make it competitive. And that is a new thing for Atlanta people.
Oh, my God, dog. Like, it's such a weird feeling to know that regardless of the margin of deficit.
Yeah.
Like, no, we'll probably clear that. Like,
when we went down 7 with 4 minutes left, like, you know, old L would have been like, oh, turn it. Like,
turn
it's over.
Off.
Here we go.
Right.
We'll be down 20 in 5 minutes. But I very calmly looked at everyone in the room and I was like, we got this. And I was like, who the hell are you? Like, what happened to you? But I like this. And I think this is growth. And I want to say thank you to Trae Young for giving me that irrational confidence.
You know what?
What was the turning point for you guys here? Because Trevor is, we were talking about this in the last segment, still kind of towing the line right now. So what was the point for you, L, where you finally just decided to give things over to Trae Young and trust fully in him?
When they came back from down 26.
Yeah. It's a good spot.
Like, you know what I mean? With, like that, I was like, you know what? That is absolutely ridiculous. That is asinine, and that should not have happened. And you know what? I also feel like, too, Gojo, we're in a position where we're playing with house money, right? This team was 11th in the East in March, and they had fired their coach, and it looked like we were a lottery team last year. Like, and now we're in a position to take down. We took down the one seed. We're in a position to take down the Bucks. People who, you know, a team that people largely think are streaking towards an NBA final win, right? Because they're the best that's left and the most experienced. And I just love that, like, the moxie. Like, these kids don't know they're not supposed to be here, and they are playing so loose, and they have no pressure on them. And I think that's why we're getting, like, an and-one mixtape every night.
It's a fearless out of ignorance. That's the term that I use. Like, it was a matter of them not knowing no better and them going out and saying, you know what? Well, I might as well just ball out like I ain't got another chance to do it, right? And that's the most beautiful thing that you can easily get behind, is that it is very clearly fun for these jokers, and like
fun.
No stress whatsoever, regardless of what the situation is, and they're getting in opponents' heads beyond it, right? Like, you got Giannis shimmying on the sideline to his own team, saying, "Y'all need to get this up out of him," and he's still going out there and shimmying regardless.
They're throwing alley oops off the backboard.
Bro,
what are you doing?
Bro.
Like, it's absolutely, and that's the point, is that it's so disrespectful that I don't think anyone is underestimating the Hawks at this point. I just think that once they get on the floor with them, they're like, oh God, like, it's not just gimmicks. It's not just gadget. Like, they are this good, this confident, and they are really disrespectful. They don't give a damn about your arena or your floor or your lead. Like, they don't care. And I love that about this team. It's fun.
Ski mask season.
And we all love Trae Young too. Like, all the Sixers fans that hated him, and he's cocky and he's bad for the game. Now they're all like, well, now that my team's out of it, he is pretty fun. Of course he is. Who doesn't love this?
It is incredible. Chin Angle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Michael Jr., Trevor Scales, talking to L. Duncan, who you guys hear over at the 6 o'clock Sports Center. And you're right, like, the disrespect of it. L, I heard everyone talking, and I heard Alan Hahn and those guys this morning calling him the evil Steph Curry, forgetting apparently how much people hated Steph when these things were
Wario
going on
Steph.
Here.
Like, he's getting called Wario Steph.
Which I think has more to do with the actual look. And makeup there than it does the play or anything that we feel about him. But L, before we give you a chance, because you cut in like a borderline wrestling promo the last time that you were on with us here during this Hawks playoff run, and I want to give you the floor because I have seen the promos you have been cutting over on SportsCenter, over on social media. Here, I have seen the lineup of Atlanta related bangers that you have trotted out here. But I do want to ask, like, you know, L. Duncan, who works at ESPN with us here, our coworker, all these things. Can the Hawks actually win this series? Like, are we at the point now where it's done being like a fun house money thing, and we can say, hey, this is legitimately a team that should be expecting to make a trip to the finals now?
Yes, and you know why? You know why? And this would be the definition of all irony. The reason that Coach Bud does not coach the Hawks anymore is because his inability to adjust in the playoffs. And that, to me, is why. The Bucks do have, if they would just move away from their classic sort of, right, drop defender. If they would switch, we saw it yesterday, if they would actually switch like everybody else, they might would have a way to defend Trey. But I don't believe in Coach Bud and his ability to figure it out. He doesn't play chess in the playoffs. And so because of that, absolutely, because he is a matchup nightmare, and the Bucks currently have a coach that is not going to bend to him. You heard him, Trevor, in the game, even when Stephanie Reddy was talking to him, and he's like, well, Trey's not the problem, it's everybody else. He had 40 points when you said that. What are you talking about, Bud? What? Shut up. Like, and that Gojo, okay, that lack of leadership we've come to expect from Coach Bud and know very well in Atlanta is what leads me to believe that they've got more than a real chance to do this thing.
So, all right, Al, we've seen, like we said, you bring the energy over at that 6 o'clock Sports Center. We have seen you cut the promos around here. So for anyone that might not have heard that, for anyone that may have missed it around here as we head into the rest of the series against the Bucks right now, do you have a message for the people of Milwaukee, the rest of the Eastern Conference here, as they get ready to digest even more Hawks propaganda?
Listen, I feel like people keep asking me for a message that I've just made very clear. We ain't never scared. What else do I need to say? We ain't never scared. We ain't never scared. We ain't never scared. And just stick around, because I've got something else for all of you that just can't stop talking, that keep running your mouth. I've got a little something coming for you on Friday, all right?
Uh-oh.
Just you wait. You stand by.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just going to say this, okay? I'm just going to say, no more play in GA. Okay.
Oh.
Ain't no play. No mo play in GA. No mo playin' GA. No mo playin' GA. My Trevor, what would you say?
Dog. About to have me cuss on air. I was about to. Look, I am here for the past Detroit references. And I'm here to turn up as soon as I possibly can, because this is, we're on the cusp of something, man. L knows it. Mike knows it. And if y'all let us loose, we're going to tear the club up, and then y'all going to be stuck. It's just it's all bad from there.
Nice
if we mess around and win this.
I tell you what, this is by the way, a testament to what I've always said about L. Duncan, is there is no one at ESPN who will have you ready to cuss more on air because you are way too comfortable and way too loose with what's going on than when L. Duncan comes in and gives you the straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise, so stick around. L has got it for you coming up on Friday. Mm-hmm. She's also got it for you coming up at the 6 o'clock Sports Center. You can catch her, Kevin Negandhi, every night there, as well as co-hosting First Take, Her Take. L, you're the best. We look forward to more Hawks propaganda very, very soon,
my friend. I appreciate you, Gojo. I appreciate you, Trevor. Let's go, Hawks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
ATL, yo.
All right, coming up next, let's try and figure out, after the Hawks dispatch with them, what the hell are the 76ers supposed to do with Ben Simmons? Apparently, they feel like they got an answer, and we will get to it next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Dan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, in for Chinay Agwimike today. Our thanks to L. Duncan, co-host of the 6 o'clock Sports Center, for stopping by for more Hawks propaganda right here. And as International Players Anthem brings down here, I think when I learned that me and Trevor were like the same but different kind of thing, is I realized we were talking outside of work one time, and we were talking, it was one of those nights where with a couple of friends, karaoke conversation came up, and I said, you know, at the end of all my close friends' wedding from Notre Dame, at the end of the night, we had always settled on our group song was Colder Weather by Zach Brown Band, which isn't a love song, shouldn't be played at weddings, but it's just kind of special to the group, and it ends up being that last song that gets sung at the end of the night. And Trevor said, oh yeah, me and my friends have the same exact thing, except it is with International Players Anthem by UGK, which feels like, again, the same but different
here. Yes, 1,000%. Similar sentiment, but just different vibe, if you will. It's perfect, man. Like, that is the national anthem, and I will not be told otherwise.
Now, listen, like I say, it is my proudest karaoke performance as well, which is a story for another day
Yes. That
we can get into. But we have so much to talk to today around the NBA outside of what's going on in the playoffs. And so for help with that, we are delighted to head to the Goodyear Hotline, where our ESPN NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski joins us now. Make sure you download the Woj Pod wherever you get your podcasts. And Woj, we appreciate you joining us today. I heard you reporting earlier that Rich Paul, Ben Simmons' agent, had met with the 76ers brass ahead of the draft lottery. What can you tell us about where they're at in conversations right now with one of the Sixers stars and his potential future with this team?
Well, guys, first of all, if you guys want to do karaoke, I'll just stay on the line. We can finish off the segment that way. No, Rich Paul and Daryl Morey, the Sixers president, and Elton Brand, their general manager, met yesterday and talked about Ben Simmons' future in Philly and what that looks like, and whether or not Rich Paul's point of view, whether or not Philly is the place for him. And they didn't come to any conclusions, but that's a conversation they started that they're going to continue here in the off season. As for Philadelphia, they say they are committed to working through, some of the issues that obviously sidetracked the team and Ben Simmons in the Atlanta series. Certainly they've got to get him at the free throw line, certainly starting there, and his shooting certainly is a broader issue. Now, does that mean Philly's not going to listen? I mean, if you follow Daryl Morey's career as a top executive in the league, he's always looking to make deals, better his team. But I think if you're Philadelphia, you also know that Ben Simmons' value may not be at its apex right now. That doesn't mean somebody wouldn't come in and blow him away with something. But I think the plan in Philadelphia right now is to try to work through these things in the offseason, bring the team back. But we know things can change, certainly. And we'll see from Ben Simmons, Rich Paul's end, where they fall on this. But right now, I also know Doc Rivers and Ben Simmons met earlier in the week, at the end of their season, talked about a plan, kind of the beginnings of a plan for the summer, how they can attack some of these things. And so, this is certainly going to be a story that we'll be following through the offseason.
So the basketball component is one thing, but what about the interpersonal connections within the locker room? Because I found it a little jarring, and I think Mike would agree, the amount of candor that was almost expressed immediately in the aftermath of the Game 7 loss to the Hawks. Whoa. So is that anything that may brew up in this discussion?
My sense is that Joel Embiid's been really supportive of Ben Simmons. And in the moments after a bad loss, and that was a bad loss, losing, that they were a one seed and to lose, not to take anything away from Atlanta. And these guys, they may win the East before they're all said and done, but certainly it was a disappointing loss for Philly as a one seed, losing a Game 7 at home. I wouldn't read too much into those initial comments in the moment after. Typically, I don't think that's that unusual, especially with a loss like that. But I don't think it's going to be personalities that would lead this to be broken up. I think it's going to be do we think we can get Ben better? Do we think there's a path to make the improvements that need to be made? And then also, is there something out there that would potentially, if you're going to trade a player of that caliber, you got to get a lot back. And do you want to do it again at a time? And I do think he still has great value around the league. You talk to teams, and there's not going to be any shortage of teams interested. how much would they be willing to give up? And so I think those are all the factors in this. I think the personality, the relationships, I think are less of a factor. And my sense is that Joel is on board with you know, helping Ben, helping the team, you know, try to figure this out.
Chinna and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to our ESPN NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. And Woj, we saw earlier the reporting from Tim McMahon that the Pacers are hiring Rick Carlisle as their head coach. In addition to his hiring, I saw some of his comments where he very publicly recommended for his old team in the Dallas Mavericks that they go with Jason Kidd as their next head coach. Where is Dallas at in this process here? And is Kidd one of the names that could or is being considered right now?
Well, I think there'll be more important voices in that Dallas coaching search than Rick's, I think, moving on. I think certainly he'll be a candidate. He's got a lot of ties to the organization. But, you know, Mark Cuban has said he's wanted to do, you know, they're doing a GM, president/GM search first, and that they're going to hire a new head of basketball operations to replace Donnie Nelson. And then they'll go and work together to hire a coach. So do I think Jason Kidd will be part of that search? I do. I think Jamal Mosley, who's associate head coach or the top assistant in Dallas, who is a very popular choice with Luka Doncic. He's certainly a big fan of his. I think his candidacy is going to have to be taken seriously there. And Mosley's interviewed for other jobs around the league. He's well regarded. And listen, like, that Dallas job, because of Luka Doncic, is going to be appealing to anybody who wants to be a head coach in a league. But I think they've got to get the front office hired done first. And then they turn to that.
Lots on the table for the Dallas Mavericks right now. And like you said, Luka Doncic there certainly makes it a definite gem in this offseason full of openings here. Guys, make sure you download the Woj Pod wherever you get your podcasts. Our great ESPN NBA insider. Woj, we will have you back very soon for more in-depth karaoke discussion.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Our thanks to Adrian Wojnarowski for joining us on the show. But as we mentioned there at the end, Rick Carlisle, it appears to be set to become the next Indiana Pacers head coach. We'll take a look at the process that got them there and also his words. How strange it is that on the way out, Rick Carlisle apparently wants to seem to still help out the old cause. That'll be next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinna and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Chinna Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Our thanks to Adrian Wojnarowski, our ESPN NBA insider, joining us on that Goodyear hotline. And now all I can think about is, I wonder what song Woj would karaoke if given the choice.
Ooh. I want him to step outside the comfort zone immediately and just go like Mariah Carey. I don't know.
That's what I mean. Like, right? It's got to be
like Glitter or something. Like, yeah.
I could feel Woj, like, surprising us with the vocal range here. Hit the Jackson 5 or something like that. Like
falsetto the whole way through. I love it.
I have learned one thing in my time at ESPN. It is not to doubt the range of talents of Adrian Wojnarowski, and I'm not going to start now. So we'll try and unearth that with him the other day once we get through breaking more NBA news. But one bit of news we were talking about with Woj when we had him on here was Rick Carlisle apparently set to, according to Tim McMahon reporting this, sign as the Indiana Pacers' next head coach, taking over in that program. But, Trevor, how surprised were you on the way out, getting ready for this? First off, we had the notepad goodbye that was sent to Adrian Wojnarowski explaining why he was leaving the Dallas Mavericks. And then now on the other side, Rick Carlisle on the way out offering quotes saying he believes the Dallas Mavericks should go to Jason Kidd as the next head coach, cited coaching both Kidd and Luka Doncic, saying the overwhelming similarities in their games and his styles in a number of different ways. It seemed like an odd parting gift for a guy who just decided to leave that program.
So first, yes, shouts to iOS Notes for being wide-ranging like one Adrian Wojnarowski and being able to offer resignations and also public apologies. But beyond that, it was fascinating just the way in which Rick Carlisle has since left the Dallas franchise. That relationship that he drew, that parallel that he drew between Luka Doncic and Jason Kidd showed one of a couple different things, right? One, that there are a level of keys to the franchise that those two players have that is unlike any other. and also how they choose to wield them is an interpretation that I feel like he left out there for us to assume or not, depending on how we wanted to interpret his words, right? So that was what stuck with me in his drawing that parallel between Jason Kidd and Luka Doncic, but eventually saying that Jason Kidd is the man for the job, Mike.
Yeah, and it was interesting because this all centers around how do you make sure Luka Doncic feels good, right? Like, we had that article from The Athletic not too long ago talking about Bob V and that front office and some of the relationships that maybe weren't there with Luka, and then you have their GM leave, and then you have their head coach leave here. I know Woj mentioned Jamal Mosley was a name, an assistant coach for the Dallas Mavericks, who Luka Doncic is apparently super high on. And Trev, I feel like more of us, especially in this situation, need to be paying attention to what just happened for the Celtics, right? Like, Ime Udoka signs as the head coach there. Apparently someone who, when you look at the star players on that team there, the young stars on that team, all vouching for him, all played for him on Team USA in the 2019 FIBA tournament. Like, it's a very easy way to go through life in this league, making sure your best player feels like they've got some, I think, an appropriate level of input on this process.
Ringing endorsements from superstars on your roster is the major key to getting yourself a job here. Like, that's just what it boils down to. Like, if Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and Jason Tatum all sign off on a guy, yeah, no, it makes it a pretty easy decision. Also considering just like the stale relationship that it was apparent Brad Stevens had with that team by the end of the run, right? It was, you know, you have to cater to the superstar, not in necessarily a way that leads to the detriment of your organization, but in a way that only bolsters the quality of life for everyone involved. Because if your superstars are happy, everyone around them is going to be happy, coaching staff included. And you get to succeed on a massive front. You don't want to just appease the superstar for the sake of appeasing the superstar, because you don't want to let them run amok with it, right? But it is a matter of making sure that you ain't rocking the boat too much and that both parties can move forward amicably, to quote the 40-year-old virgin, and really get the most out of the situation.
To quote the 40-year-old version, yeah, there's baby. Your Thursday bingo card putting off a pretty sizable square there on Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. But no, and like the fine line you mentioned of too much power, because we've seen it in the past where people feel like there are players that abuse that power, get too much in certain situations here. It's not always that it has to be someone that star loves. It just can't be someone that star hates, because if you walk in, every locker room is run by the players and everyone starts with the top down. The new coach's job is always, you got to connect first and foremost with the star player on that team so that message can get disseminated in this process. It just still weirds me out, because as we look at this job, everything about the Mavericks situation, the appeal is tied to Luka Doncic, right? Like, we know the Porzingis contract is going to be a difficult thing for them to have to navigate, but you got maybe the biggest, brightest young star in the NBA. No disrespect to Trae Young and what he's doing right now, but it's just so fascinating to me that, again, we have Rick Carlisle almost acting like the cool divorced dad in this situation, coming back and it's like, hey, I just want what's best for the family here. Still shows up to the Blenders Thanksgiving, feels really good about this situation. It's like, if you're trying to do right by all this, and it seemed like a situation that was so good, and you have one of those big stars that you can build around there, I'm just struggling to see why this was such a mutual breakup in that spot. If you're still out here actively saying, hey, look, and you know, maybe Jason Kidd, someone he's still close with, maybe he's trying to help him get a leg up in this. I don't know what it looks like, but it's just very odd dynamic right now.
It clearly ain't no sweat off of Rick Carlisle's back. Like, that's just the most beautiful and, like, again, fascinating part of all of this. Like, this man, this brother is navigating this space flawlessly. If he is rattled at the idea of being forced out, if you will, from that organization, he sure ain't showing it, right? Like, he's on to the next move. He done recommended best option available to his past ex. Like, it is a level of growth that you really don't see, not only in sports relationships, but in relationships at large, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to say people are going to be showing up to their therapist asking to give them the Rick Carlisle, like it's a number on the haircut thing when you go to the barbershop here. So obviously lots to pay attention to. Again, that Dallas Mavericks job, whenever it gets decided, and Woj told us they're working on the GM first, is going to be one of the biggest moves that hangs in this offseason. But coming up next, we still got NBA postseason to get through, and we have to figure out for the Bucks, what's the biggest problem they face going up against the Hawks after being down 0-1? We'll get to that next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to Chenay and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.